by psalm. I don't normally plan out when we're going to be on what passage. We just keep moving through the book, letting God's word speak to us. And this psalm could not be more fitting for this Sunday. That will become clear as we dig into this psalm. God is present. He is here to speak to us through His holy written word. If you brought a Bible with you, I invite you to open to Psalm 82. And if you are able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of our God, our King. And He says to us in Psalm 82, which is a psalm of Asaph, God has taken His place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, He holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your written word. Thank you for the way you speak to us through it. Give us understanding from this psalm, that we might rest in you, that we might enjoy you, that we might serve you, that we might give you the praise and honor that you are due, that we might lift up our prayers to you with confidence. Give us insight from this psalm. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Before my outline today, I'm going to raise and answer three questions. And if you want to remember the outline, think of an owl. Think of an owl. Why an owl? Because each question begins with the word who. Who? That's a little corny, I know. But now you're going to remember the outline, won't you? The three questions are, who are the gods being addressed? Who addresses the gods and why? And who is this psalm for? Is it only for the gods or is it for other people as well? So first, who are the gods being addressed? I'm starting with this question because the whole of this psalm concerns the gods. The gods are addressed two times. On the screen, I'm showing you with different colors that most of the words of this psalm are words said directly to the gods. The gods are definitely the focus. We need to know who they are. So, what do you think? What do you think? Now that we've read the psalm, who do you think the gods are? You might be thinking, well, they must be pagan deities. They must be pagan deities. That's a good possibility, because there are indeed many passages in the Bible that clearly refer to pagan deities as God's little g. I'll give you just one example. There are many. I'll give you one. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, we hear God say to the Israelites, take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you. All the nations surrounding Israel served pagan deities. And Israel was constantly tempted to turn away from the true living God to those pagan deities. And as we see here in Deuteronomy, those pagan deities are referred to as God's little g. So that very well might be the case in Psalm 82. But you also might wonder, are the gods demons? While demons are not commonly referred to as God's little g in the Bible, verse 6 of Psalm 82 raises the possibility. In verse 6 we read, I said, you are God's sons of the Most High, all of you. Now notice that the gods are called sons of the Most High. That brings to mind what we see at the beginning of the book of Job. Do you remember how the book of Job begins? The book begins with Satan and all the demons gathering together before God. We read in chapter 1, verse 6 of Job, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was also came among them. The sons of God who came with Satan are demons, fallen angels. They're called sons of God because the angels were created directly by God. They didn't have parents, you know, they weren't offspring. They were created directly by God. That's why they're called sons of God. So it's possible that in Psalm 82, there is this reference to demons. God's little g might be demons, the sons of the Most High. And some have made that conclusion about the psalm. But for a really good reason, I submit to you we should reject those first two possibilities and conclude that the gods are human rulers. They are human kings and judges and other officers. They are humans in positions of authority. I give you this conclusion because of something Jesus said. His words are recorded in John chapter 10. Starting with verse 31, we read, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him, stone Jesus. And Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it's not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be broken. You say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. In this passage, Jesus, a man, is being accused of blasphemy because he, a man, claimed to be God. In response to the accusation of blasphemy, Jesus quotes the Old Testament. He quotes a passage the Jewish people were obviously very familiar with, for Jesus has no need to explain it. Jesus simply says, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? He knows they will not deny the answer to that question is yes, which means they know the passage he is quoting. They know what this passage is about. They know the answer is yes. Now, there's only one passage in the Bible in which we hear God say the words, I said, you are gods. And that is Psalm 82, verse 6. Which is very interesting, isn't it? Why would Jesus quote Psalm 82, verse 6, when responding to this charge of blasphemy against that he was blasphemous? Answer, when you realize Psalm 82 is about human rulers being given authority from God to rule, when you realize the gods are kings and judges and other officers being put in their positions of authority by the Word of God, well, then Jesus' argument makes a lot of sense. Jesus' argument to the crowds is this: you know from your word that God gave men authority to rule. And you know that God himself called them gods, little g, which means they're not divine, but they have this authority from God. God called them gods, little g, because of the importance of their position, the authority that he grants them. Knowing God gave that authority to humans, knowing God uses this terminology, God's little g, Jesus' argument is this: why then do you reject the fact that God would do something even more amazing, namely send his own son into this world as a man? He has given men authority. Why would you not consider the fact that he might do something more amazing and send his own son into the world as a man? Jesus is saying, instead of accusing me of blasphemy, realize who I am. Realize what God has done. Realize that I am not only a human with God-given authority, I am God himself. The argument makes perfect sense when you understand Psalm 82 is about human rulers, kings, judges, other officers. And that, therefore, means that's how what we should conclude about Psalm 82. That argument makes it clear that the gods in Psalm 82 are human rulers. That's the only way Jesus' argument makes sense. The gods are people with God-given authority. They are kings. They are judges, other officers. So that's the answer to our first question. And with that answer, we now turn to our second question. Namely, who addresses the gods in Psalm 82 and why? Who addresses them and why? We see part of the answer in verse 1, which says, God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. Clearly, it's the one true living God who is addressing the gods, little g, the human kings, the human judges and such. God has, we might say, invited himself to a council with the human rulers. It's a divine council because God himself is present. God is the one speaking, and he is dealing with the authority he himself has given these rulers. And we see in verse 1 that God does not come with a compliment. He comes with a word of judgment. God is not happy with the kings and judges, the rulers. And we learn why God is not happy in verses 2 through 4. Listen again to the verses. God is speaking to the gods, little g. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. God is not happy because the rulers have been misusing the authority he gave them. They have not acted justly. Now, if you were here 2 weeks ago, I hope this psalm brings to mind what we learned about justice. Namely, 2 weeks ago, we learned there is a big difference between the idea of justice permeating our culture and true biblical justice. 2 weeks ago, I gave you this definition of biblical justice from the book written by Scott David Allen titled, Why Social Justice is Not Biblical Justice. Allen writes that biblical justice is, quote, conformity to God's moral standard as revealed in the Ten Commandments and the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. That's an excellent definition of biblical justice. And God clearly made that definition of justice known to his people. So in Psalm 82, God is saying to the human rulers, you are not ruling according to my standard, my commandments, my way. To emphasize that we are reading this rightly and to give us a better idea of what God is saying to these human rulers, I want to read to you some passages. I always find that the Word of God helps us understand the Word of God. So I want to read to you some passages. I want to hear you to hear from God's Word what Psalm 82 is talking about. I'm going to take you to the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. And then he tells Moses, quote, arise, go on your journey at the head of the people so that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So the people now have the law. The giving of the law happened right above this verse I just read. And with the law, they are now headed to the promised land God is giving to them. That's the scene. Now, starting in the next verse, verse 12, God, through Moses, tells them how they are to live in this land he is giving them. Quote, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and earth, belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart and love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no longer stubborn, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of the heaven. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. Now, that passage makes it clear that they were to love God and keep his commandments. We heard that several times. They were to circumcise their hearts, which means repent and humbly trust in God. And with that repentant, trusting heart, they were to follow his ways. That is how justice would be maintained. That is how every person, including sojourners, would be treated equally. That is how the fatherless and the widow and the sojourner would be taken care of. Notice that bribes are mentioned. Right before God talks about the fatherless and the widow and the sojourner, bribes are mentioned. Judging according to God's holy law, God's standard, rather than judging according to bribes is an important theme. The absence of bribes is a significant part of justice. Now, with that understood, look with me at Deuteronomy 16. In this chapter, God tells them how they were to be governed in the promised land that they were being given. Here's how they were to be governed. Starting with verse 18, we read, "You shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eye of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God has given you." God called for the appointing of human rulers, judges, officers, and they were to govern with righteous judgment, not taking bribes, using the law of God. We just learned from chapter 10 what that means. They were to judge according to God's law, His commandments. That is how judges and officers were to maintain justice in the promised land. When bribes are determining justice, then the widows and the fatherless and the poor, they have no access to justice. But when the law of God determines justice, then there is no partiality. That's what the judges and officers were responsible for. And I'm going to read you one more passage to show where such government was to start. At the end of Deuteronomy chapter 17, we're told what the king should do. Starting with verse 18, we read, "And when he, the king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law, these statutes, and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." So, dear friends, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, it is clear that the king, the judges, and the officers were to lead the people in loving God and following His ways, His commandments. That is how justice was to be maintained. So, whenever you read the word justice in the Bible, think of the commandments. Think of God's way. Think of God's standard. A leader leads justly by following God's law, because God is the supreme judge of the earth. So, going back now to Psalm 82, here is the deal. God comes to the rulers, the kings, the judges, the officers, the gods, little g. And He says to them, "You are judging unjustly," meaning you are not living and judging according to my standard. He is saying you are not recognizing that rights come from me, the creator of heaven and earth, all things. You are not recognizing that I define what is right, that I define what is wrong. You are using your position to accept bribes. You are not treating people equally. You are supporting wickedness. You are looking after your own interests. So I have come to judge you. That's what's going on in Psalm 82. And look at what God says to them in verses 6 and 7. These verses are important. We hear God say to these rulers, the kings, the judges, the officers, the gods, little g, "I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince." In verse 6, God is reminding the rulers that He is the one who gave them their authority. He is the one who made them God's little g, for he is the one who put them in the place of judgment. So in verse 6, God is reminding the rulers that the answer to him, their authority comes from him. I said you are gods. He has told them to do justice by heeding his commandments, following his ways. They will be accountable to him. And after reminding them of that in verse 6, in verse 7, God reminds them that although they have this great authority, although God put them in this place of judgment, they are mere men. And they will die. And when they die, that is when they will stand before his face, the true judge who indeed is holy and just. And be assured, God will accept no bribe. Verses 6 and 7 should have caused the kings and the judges to shake with a holy fear before God Almighty. That's the message of Psalm 82. And it ends with a prayer led by the psalmist. The psalmist prays, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations." That is a prayer of confidence in God. That is a prayer of a person who takes refuge in God Almighty and rests in God. It is a prayer that recognizes God will one day bring about complete justice on all the earth. All the nations will stand before him and the rulers will be accountable. God will judge according to his way, his standards, his laws. And it is a prayer that looks forward to that day arriving. It is a prayer that pleases, that places hope in God's judgment. And the psalmist ends his prayer, or ends his psalm with that prayer. Now, with that understood, let's ask and answer this final important question. Who then is Psalm 82 for? Who is it for? Is it only for Jewish people of old? The kings and judges from the Old Testament, is that who it's for? Or is it for all kings and judges today as well? Or is it for all people? I submit to you, this psalm is for all people of all time periods, all cultures, all nations. First of all, this psalm is addressing every single ruler, king, president, prime minister, judge, senator, representative, governor, and all the earth. It's not just the Jewish leaders of old. It's every ruler. I say that with confidence because the New Testament makes it clear that every single ruler is indeed appointed by God. Their authority comes from him. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." I said you are gods. You could summarize that verse that way. I said you are gods. I gave you your authority. I instituted you. They all come from God. All authorities from the mayor and law enforcement of the smallest city to the leader of the greatest, largest nation, they are all from God of all time periods. Therefore, Psalm 82 is for all of them. God is warning every single ruler. God is saying to them, realize you are but mere human beings. You are not gods with a capital G. You are not divine like I am. You are but mere human beings. You will die. And you will stand before me, God with capital G. And you will be responsible for what you did by the authority I gave you over those nations. You will be judged according to my moral, unchanging law. Whether you acknowledge me or not, this will happen. We could turn to the early chapters of Romans and learn that all rulers have the law written on their hearts. Whether they have the word of God or not, they have the law written on their hearts. They should know it. They should rule by it. So everyone on the ballot this Tuesday would be very wise to read Psalm 82 and heed it. They should let this psalm humble them. They should let this psalm give them wisdom. And everyone who will be elected in the future would be wise to read it and heed it in every nation of every time period. Psalm 82 is very applicable for that reason. Now, because it is for all the leaders of all the nations, of all the time periods and all places, Psalm 82, therefore, is also for all people. It warns the leaders, and Psalm 82 is for our comfort. This is for our comfort. Psalm 82 reminds us God is sovereign. It reminds us that every ruler is established by God. It reminds us that they will be accountable to Him. All rulers will die and stand before God's throne just as we will. So Psalm 82 is saying to us, to all people, if you are not getting true justice today, if your leaders are not giving you true justice, well, just wait. Just hang on. Someday there will be justice. Don't worry. God is in control. It's a comforting psalm. God is saying to us today, you know, even if voter fraud occurs, don't worry. I'm in control. I said you are God's. I established the authorities. Don't worry. If people protest the election, God is saying, I'm the one who establishes it. Know that. Don't worry. I'm in control. Nothing's going to take away my control. I say you are God's. Nothing happens apart from me. Psalm 82 is saying us today, instead of worrying about anything that happens, turn to God in prayer. That's our application. Turn to God in prayer. And it teaches us how to pray. It gives us the words to pray. Arise, O God. Judge the earth. For you shall inherit all the nations. Dear friends, no election, no revolution, no power will stop that prayer from being answered. And when that prayer is answered, there will be perfect peace and justice throughout the whole earth, throughout heaven and earth, for Jesus, the God-man, capital G, God, God-man, the true king, he will rule. He will receive all the nations. It will all be his. That is awesome to know and remember. God is speaking to us today. Psalm 82 is his word to us. Let's respond with trust. Let's respond with faith in Him. Let's respond with thankfulness. Let's respond by praying the last verse of this psalm together. The words there are on the screen. Join me right now in praying those words. Arise, O God, judge the earth. To pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this psalm today. We thank you for your sovereign rule. We thank you for making known your ways. We thank you for establishing human rule to provide nations peace and justice. We realize what a good gift that is. And we also realize it can be greatly misused. We realize we live in a fallen world. And so we do look forward to the day Jesus will return to set up his throne on the new heaven he and the new earth he will usher in. We pray for it to come. And while we wait, we trust in you. And we sing our praises to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's sing together. Praise the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Let's know he is sovereign. Let's worship him.